I read from the latest UNICEF report that 14 million people in Afghanistan are facing acute food insecurity, and an estimated 3.2 million children under the age of 5 are expected to suffer from acute malnutrition by the end of this year. Are these the up-to-date numbers? What's the situation like on the ground for children in Afghanistan?
UNICEF has been in Afghanistan for over 70 years. So we have presence across the entire country, north, south, east, west, and central. And all our offices in those regions are open. We have never left, not even on August 15. So all our offices remained open and our warehouses are full. At the moment, there are 22.8 million people facing food insecurity across the country. And that means that they cannot access affordable or nutritious food. Around 23 million. And that is half the country. Okay. The country is 38 million people. So it's over half the country. Now, of that 23 million figure, 60% are children. So that's around 14 million children are food insecure. And so what does that look like for an impoverished family? It looks like parents who are decreasing the portion size of meals. It looks like parents who are not eating three meals a day. Some are only eating one meal a day. It looks like parents who wake up in the morning and they don't know where their next meal is coming from. It's that level of food insecurity. Now, this has been exacerbated by several factors. I mean, this is what, when we talk about the perfect storm in Afghanistan and the looming crisis, what we mean is that, you know, against a backdrop of drought, against a backdrop of a poor harvest because of the drought, against a backdrop of rising food prices, then the families who are struggling at the moment are going to struggle more. And they're going to struggle more because winter is now here. And we're only at the start of winter. We have four more months of this. And an Afghan winter is a very brutal experience. It's freezing cold. And a lot of the more rural areas will be shut off because of snow if they're mountainous. So UNICEF is very, very concerned because what we are seeing is we've got around 3.2 million children who are acutely malnourished. And we've got 1.1 million children who are at risk of dying because of severe acute malnutrition unless we intervene with treatment.
How desperate is the malnutrition situation in the country?
Now, last week, I was in Herat in the west of the country, and I was visiting health clinics to better understand, you know, from an anecdotal perspective, how bad the situation is for children. And the first clinic I went to, I said to the doctor, you know, show me your records and let me see how many people you've had in for malnutrition cases compared to last month. Now, compared to last month, that doctor had seen a 50% increase, 50% increase in cases of severe acute malnutrition. When I went to the second clinic, the nutrition counsellor showed me her records and she recorded a rise of 30%, 30. So these are massive upticks in severe acute malnutrition. And the doctor in the first clinic, when I said to her, you know, why are children coming in so malnourished? And she said, because people are, you know, people have always been poor. People in Afghanistan have struggled. It's a very fragile country. So this is not something that has just happened since August the 15th. Afghanistan is a country that has experienced a certain amount of insecurity or conflict for the last 40 years. But because of the drought, because of the poorer harvest because of the rising food prices, because many women have been asked to stay at home since August 15, and therefore people, a lot of families have lost their main source of income. People are impoverished now in a way that they have not been, before. And she said, well, we had a baby that came in that was severely acutely malnourished. And I said to the mother, you know, are you breastfeeding? And the mother said, I'm trying to, but I've got no milk. And so the doctor said, well, what are you eating? And the mother said, well, we don't eat very much because we're very poor. And she said, once a day, I have a glass of black tea and I dip a piece of bread in it. And that's what she has once a day. So no, it's no wonder that she can't breastfeed because she is undernourished herself. And I think that is a story that is amplified all over the country, really. And I was sitting in the nutrition counsellor's room when she brought her four-year-old in. She was carrying her and she sat her down on a chair and she was in this oversized coat. It was clearly too big for her. But she put her four-year-old down and the four-year-old, whose name was Parwana, just didn't move. And it was as if the big winter coat was supporting her little frame. And you would expect, you know, if you brought a four-year-old into a room, you'd expect the four-year-old to be looking around and be curious about the strangers in the room. This little girl sat supported by her jacket in exactly the same position as her mother had put her down, and she just stared at the floor. Her head was bowed, she had no energy. And she explained to the nutrition counsellor that her daughter wouldn't eat, and she was worried about her, she was losing weight. And so when the nutrition counsellor tried, she was measuring her, she took her coat off and we saw her arm. The first thing I thought about when I saw the top of her arm was that it was really no thicker than a broom handle. And then you could see the patchy hair. She was so malnourished. Her hair was falling out. Her cheeks were hollow. And she was immediately diagnosed with severe acute malnutrition. At 4 years old, she was 9.10 kilograms. That is exactly half of what she should be. That is the sole provider of the ready-to-use therapeutic food here. And so it's vital that we continue to get these supplies in. Acute malnutrition is of course a lack of nutrition. It's sudden weight loss because there's not enough food. But severe acute malnutrition means that you can potentially die if you're not treated. And that means that if we do not treat them, they will die. It means that they're much more likely to suffer from complications. We have got ready-to-use therapeutic food in all our warehouses all over the country. We are doubling the number of our nutrition counsellors across the country. So these are usually women who are attached to clinics. And when mothers bring their babies in for things like routine vaccinations, then the nutrition counsellors can also see the mothers, talk to the mothers, counsel the mothers, ask the mothers what they're giving their children to eat, advise them on how to, you know, make that better. They're local people, you know, the nutrition counsellors are local to the communities, so they're trusted. And then we're also doubling the number of mobile health and nutrition teams. And these are teams that are obviously they're not static, they're not in clinics, but they go out into the rural communities and they work with the rural communities. They identify families at risk and they test the children and they treat the children as well. And so that's one of the ways that we can reach the hardest to reach children.